Well, it's 2 months late, but happy new year. Good morning again, Daniel Valdez again. It is a pleasure and an honor to talk to you for the first time in 2023. I hope you all are having a fantastic year so far. I am doing just fine in between traveling back and forth between Austin for the good old HE of B. I'm gonna plop down and we're gonna talk about some of these rule proposals that came out. That came to light about a month ago, by the UIL Marching Band Rules Advisory Committee. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. I went ahead, if you're looking at the thumbnail right now on youtube.com/thedanpodcast, I have highlighted it, crudely highlighted. My highlighting skills are excellent, as you can see. Crudely highlighted the topics I will talk about. As I'm not going to go through all 17 on this recording. We'll do half of them now. We'll do some of them now, and then we'll do some of them probably next week or something like that when I have time. Just because I don't want to rush through anything. Anytime I got a giant list like that, I feel obligated to rush through things, and I don't want to do that. I want to make sure I take my time with each of these and kind of explain context behind it. Because context is everything. So, a couple things. We'll listen to that, and then we'll go through some of these rule proposals. So we're going to go through 1 through 9 today. A couple of things. Number one. Keep this in mind, some of these proposals, in fact, probably most of these rule proposals will not see the light of day. They'll get voted down, they won't get the votes to advance or whatever. A lot of these will not be implemented. That happens all the time. It just does. There's a lot to consider. There's a lot of explanation back and forth about what the rule proposal means. People raise questions, people poke holes in it, which we should rightfully do. We want to make sure that we're not just putting in rules without any sort of context or educational value into the system. So there's that. Number two, the next spring meeting is Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. It says it on the sheet right there. Hashtag reading is everything. Or what is it? Knowledge is good or something. I forgot it. Whatever. Anyways, give a hoot, read a book. There it is. That's an old school one. The parents know what I'm talking about. So it's not like anything's going to be decided anytime soon. We got to get together. We got to get the Rules Action Committee together and hash out what's going on with these rule proposals. Number three. There are no descriptors on these. They're just, you know, it's just kind of the topic, like proposal to such and such. The rationale behind it, the potential costs behind it, because that's something, it's a business decision, you have to evaluate that as well. All that stuff is not at light, it's not to the light of day yet. That gets hashed out at later meetings, later on in the year. But knowing how this process goes, talking to directors, talking to design staff and everything, I kind of have a pretty good idea of what's going on here. And I'm going to try to look at everything as 360 as I possibly can with the tactfulness that you all have come to know and love by listening to my stupid show. So without further ado, oh, by the way, number four, the fact that we even have this list available online for us to talk about, for us to go back and forth on, the fact that we have this list, the fact that it is public and we get to see what's going on with our activity is a very good sign. Anytime you get the administration, anytime you get the suits upstairs to be as transparent as possible with these sort of rule things, because I mean, this could affect how marching band shows are designed, or this could be a supplemental rule that goes together with how marching band shows are already designed. So the fact that they're willing to listen, the fact that they're willing to put these out there is incredibly good. Now, most of these 20 years ago, back when I was marching, a lot of these would have gotten you laughed out of the room. It would have lost you a lot of respect amongst your peers. And yeah, probably some people probably would have thrown batteries at you. So times have changed. Anything that was a rule 20 years ago, back when I was doing marching around and waving my hands on the podium, that all that should be on the table. All that should be looked at. Judging systems, penalties, everything. You should look at it, because the activity is a very different thing today than it was 20 years ago. So let's keep that in mind. Cool? Cool. Let's go through the process. Marching Band Rules Advisory Committee. There we go. This is from their fall meeting. These are just some new business things that that got proposed. So here we go. Starting off with number one, we're calling this, you know, if I give you a nickname, if I give something a nickname, you know I really believe in it. So we're going to call this Prop 492. Proposal to change the clock structure to 4 minutes, 9 minutes, 2 minutes. What does that mean? 4 minute setup time, maximum 9 minute show time, and 2 minutes to get off the field and get the heck out of Dodge. Prop 492, 4 minutes to set up, 9 minute max show time. Doesn't have to be 9 minutes, but that we're extending it now. Remember, we had the 8 minute rule for the shows. This could be something that we change. Now we go 9 minutes. I've been a staunch proponent of make it 10 minutes and then let the programs decide how much content they want. Looks like we're going to do compromise here, try to do 9 minutes and then 2 minutes to get everything off the field past the goal line so you don't get penalties or get yelled at by administration. Heavy yes on this. This is what I want. Here's why. The modern activity requires that extra minute. You really need that extra minute. A lot of programs, a lot of shows, a lot of Texas programs who have a state contest that year. And by the way, it looks almost a slam dunk, almost 99, 100% sure that we are going to be doing state every single year. Yes, I'm waiting to get confirmation on the stadium. Yes, there's still some things to be hashed out. You'll have your answer when you have your answer. Cool. A lot of programs that have state contests have to err on the side of caution because you don't want to go overtime. Remember, it's 8 minutes show length. You can do less, but the second you do more, you get the book thrown at you, and that gets addressed later on in these rule things. So when you have those types of shows that, oh my gosh, we got to cut it off at like 7:45. We got to cut it off at 7:30. I don't feel like the artistic expression of the show, the idea of the show, gets fleshed out fully because you're on such a time constraint. That's a lot of content to put in a show that's only 7 minutes and 45 seconds long, 7 minutes and 7 minutes and 30 seconds long. So 9 minutes stretches it out a little bit more, and then it's up to the programs how much content they want to do. It doesn't mean you have to get as close to 9 minutes as possible. Even if you add an extra 30 seconds or 45 seconds to the show, you're still under time. The reason I want this to go through is because, number one, it fits in line with the modern marching band activity. Number two, the kids want it. The marching members want it. And if they get it, I know they can handle it. It's not going to be something that's going to fry their brains. They want it. They want more content. They want more. They are hungry animals that want to perform for the crowd and want to perform for their friends. Don't take that opportunity away from them. Don't do it. Prop 492. Let's make that happen. New business number two, proposal for front ensembles to be permitted to pre-stage during the band's prior band's setup. So if you've noticed during UIL contests, when the band gets, when a band gets called onto the field, they get onto the field, and then there's like this little gap for front ensembles. There's usually that area for front ensemble setup, like the prior band's front ensembles, that's usually empty. Because they're not permitted to pre-stage during their prior band setup. They have to wait until the show goes on, and then they can start setting up. This gives them a little bit extra time to go ahead and pre-stage and make sure everything's good to go there. I have no problem with that. Whatever front ensembles want to do, that's a hard job to do with the pushing and pulling all that equipment around and then having to play that stuff and get into performance mode. After you're done hauling all that equipment around, it's a challenge. So whatever the front ensembles wanted to do, I've got no problem with that. Number three, proposal for bands to be permitted to pre-stage during the 3 minutes prior to their field entry. So imagine that. You're watching a band on the field, and then you start seeing that other band start coming up. I don't know if you're going to be allowed to go to the goal line for the band while that other program is on. That could mean for just the band. That could get a man for just the band or the set pieces or whatever. Of course, they're not going to be on the field at the same time that prior band is on. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So just logistical things that we're talking about here, trying to make sure that we try to give the programs ample time to get everything they need to get on the field and off the field. I have no problem with that. It just kind of depends on whether that would be too much of a distraction, because now if you put those two proposals, the front ensemble proposal and the band proposal, on the same table and they get approved, that is a lot of, it could take away, I'm just poking holes in things, it could take away from the program that's actually on the field instead of watching somebody push set pieces and all sorts of stuff next to the goal line. So something to look forward to. Number four, proposal for competition suite to be used at region contest. Competition suite is the tabulation software that's basically used by every single marching band organizer that puts on contest. It's used by WGI. It's used by DCI. It is the gold standard. All sorts of stuff that can be used with that software. Region contest is a little bit different. By the way, UIL uses it for state. UIL uses it for area. Do they use it for area? I think they use it for area. Anyways, region contest, you're not really scored. You're just given a division rating because you're not competing against anybody else. You're just competing against the sheets. That's all you're doing. You're just competing against the sheets and you get a division rating. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You get a division one rating, average division one rating by the three judges. You move on to the area contest and then so on and so forth. Competition suite. Obviously, area or regions are going to have to purchase that software. So that's an additional cost that they have to incur. But if we get that going, this opens the door for a couple of things. It opens the door for the possibility for a region contest to actually be scored instead of just doing division ratings on a Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, here's your division one rating. Good luck at area. It's a very matter of fact sort of thing for a lot of programs. If we use competition suite, that means we can kind of score the contest. How would you feel if programs were named region champions? Can we have that? Is that something y'all want? Region 12 region champion, region 18 region champion, region 27 region champion, that sort of stuff. We're already seeing kind of evidence, like we're kind of seeing how they want to do things. The area contests, they're going to start naming, like, not only area champion, but we're going to really put an emphasis, like, this program was second at area, this program was third at area. They're going to really push for that. So that could be something to see further down the line. Could you imagine having a region champion? Now, whether that affects the other contests, to be seen. But that's something that's a big possibility, that region contest could be scored. Instead of just giving out a division, you can still give out, if you want to give out your division rating, fine. But the possibility of a region contest actually being scored and we're giving away trophies and medals there could be a possibility in the future. So stay tuned for that. Number five, proposal to hold top half and bottom half pre-draw for area finals. So essentially we'd be turning area finals into a BOA regional finals, which they do. Bottom half, they're BOA regionals, regular regionals, 12th through 7th place. Mixed up in order, but it's a pre-draw. 12th through 7th place in prelims, mixed up, pre-draw. 1st through 6th place, mixed up. They perform at the later half of finals. So they're kind of grouped together. That's something the Bands of America does. Now, it's a little bit different because currently, right now, for the area judging system, it can be kind of an issue. Here's what we're talking about. For Bands of America regional contests, what I've noticed since we've started doing that bottom half, top half pre-draw for regional finals, we've noticed that it's rare, very rare, for a program to be in the bottom half of finals and be able to jump that gap to get into the top half for regional finals at the end of the contest. It's very difficult to do that. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. But the UIL system, what we have right now, 3 music judges, 2 visual judges. What we have right now is a system that, whether it was intended to do this or not, it allows for those jumps. It allows for programs that were maybe bottom half after prelims to make that jump into the top half at the end of the night and even get into the state contest. How many times have we seen that when we're going over area results every year? That our program was really high up in prelims and then didn't make state, or a program that was maybe barely making it into finals at area, and then they jump up and they're able to get state contest. If we put this into place, which I kind of like, if we put this into place, it almost feels like this has to be paired up for something. It really feels like you're going to have to change the system. And I'm going to give you evidence of that the next time I do one of these things. So you may have to change the area system in order to get this top half, bottom half thing to really work. But this is something that's very common amongst, you know, top half, bottom half, a draw for finals. This happens at Bands of America contests. It happens at a lot of local contests have adapted this. So it may just be something that programs are just used to. So we can talk about more about that later, but that's just something to think about, how top half, bottom half can really make or break things for when the results get announced at the end of the night, depending on what kind of system we're in and whether that system is conducive to giving you accurate results using that sort of draw. So more on that to come. Number six, proposal to draw for and schedule state prelims based on area results. There's no descriptor on this. I can only assume that this proposal would put all of the area champions at the very end of the contest. They would basically have their own block because, I mean, there's nine areas for 6A contest. It doesn't say specifically 6A contest. I'm just assuming that if it doesn't say anything specific to that, I guess it would be conducive to all conferences. So that's kind of what I get from there. Like, hey, if you're an area champion, you're going to go on in the last block. And then all the second place ones go in the next block, third place, fourth place, and then however they want to do it. Now, I think this has unintended consequences. I want to remind you of something. The reigning, defending UIL state champions for Conference 6A is Vandegrift High School. The former state champion, Hebron High School, previous year, 2001, they're the state champion. They were a former state champion. What do those two programs have in common? Both of those programs did not win their area contest the year that they won state. That's right. Area H, what Vandegrift's in, Vista Ridge won that contest last year. 2001, Hebron won state. Flower Mound won Area C that year. So a lot can happen in that week. A lot can happen in that week and a half, 2 weeks. So while it is a reward to give the area champions preferential scheduling towards the end of the contest where they don't necessarily have to wake up early like other programs have to do, I think it's a slippery slope. I think how should I put this? I'll put it a different way. The reason why the UIL scheduling works where you just draw randomly is because every block is a total show. It is awesome seeing programs from all over the state. There's an area champion here, and then a little bit later, there's an area champion here, and then there's one over here second, but they actually tied for first, and it's all over the place, and it makes for these blocks to be really, really, really entertaining. You don't want to segregate that schedule. It goes against the spirit of the activity. You don't want to segregate that schedule to the point where, you know, nobody's going to show up to the morning block. The stadium's going to be empty. The Alamo Dome's going to be empty at the morning block because, oh, well, those are the programs that just barely made state. And then everybody shows up to later in the evening when, you know, all of the quote good programs are. I think it's a slippery slope, but I don't think we want to do that. So it's an interesting proposal. I think it has unintended consequences. Number seven, proposal to prohibit duplication of any judges from state prelims to state finals in the five-judge system. Those are the five-judge system. Those are the for the smaller conferences for state contest. So like Conference 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A is actually going to the seven-judge system. So five judges. From state prelims, state finals for Conference 1A, 2A, 3A. This proposal says they don't want any duplication of judges. That means you would have a set of judges for prelims, and then you would have a completely separate judge panel for finals. I have no problem with that as long as the UIL wants to pay for extra judges. So that's going to be something that's something to be talked about. That's definitely a smaller conference issue. I guess they just want fresh eyes on the show. A lot of the time during the five judge system, it feels like if there's one judge who doesn't like what you're doing musically, chances are they may not like what you're doing visually. And then that judge is going to be evaluating the same contest again. So it almost feels like you're not getting a fair shake. So I completely understand that. So a nice proposal from the smaller conferences to make that happen. Number eight, proposal to amend the penalty for exceeding the 8-minute clock at the region contest from one lowered rating to written reprimand. A lot of words. Let me explain what happens here. If you at the region contest, if you go over time on the 8-minute clock, which is current right now, if you go over time by 1 second, your division rating at region is lowered by one rating. So if you got a division one rating from all three judges and you went over time on your 8-minute show, your division one turns into a division two, which means you are eliminated from competing any further in the UIL system. Go ahead and name another marching band organization, name another marching band body that penalizes you in that way. I'll wait. I'm done waiting. Nobody else does that. And if somebody else does it, I promise you this rule is few and far between. This is a very antiquated rule. Penalizing something, and it could be zero fault from the kids. But if they're over 1 second, they're eliminated. They're kicked out. That's essentially what it is. They're eliminated from the competition. They can't go any further. This has happened to several programs within the last 10 years, 5-10 years, programs we all know and love, that because they went overtime for one reason or another, they were eliminated from the UIL competition that year. So Bands of America, to give you an idea, Bands of America, if you go overtime on your show, they penalize you per second. You get like a penalty. You get like 0.3 points for every second that you're over the show. Of course, I don't think that has had to happen since back when I was marching, when shows were much, much longer. But changing this rule to a written reprimand, I think that's the way to go. Again, this is something that's been in place since the dawn of man, since the beginning of time. You know, you go over 8 minutes, that means, you know, it's one of those things like, I'm not kidding you. This was the attitude back then. The attitude back then was if you went over 8 minutes on your show and you went over time at the region contest, that means you didn't respect the other programs. That means you didn't know how to manage your band. It meant that you didn't, and you lost respect from your peers, and you weren't fit to be a band director in the state of Texas. All of that because you went over 1 or 2 seconds. It's not that dire. So let's change that. Let's do a written reprimand on that. And then if at the area contest it happens again, and you at that point, hey, we got to fix that. It's not like anybody is gaining a huge advantage by performing 1 or 2 seconds over. This is not the Olympics, okay? In the 100-meter dash, I think they still do this, or at one point they did do this. They had to, what they used to do at the, I know I'm going on a tangent, but I promise you this makes sense. 100-meter dash, long time ago, in the Olympics, you got one false start. So on your mark, get set. If somebody ran before the starter pistol went off, it was like, okay, that was a false start. Cool. The next person that did the false start, they were eliminated from the contest. They were eliminated from the event. Nowadays, and I hope this is correct, but I know that at one point very recently it was true. Nowadays, if you take off before the starter's pistol, you're automatically eliminated. There is no second chance. The reason why they had to put that in place is because so many runners were intentionally committing a false start because they were trying to get the rhythm on your mark, get set, and then you take off. If you take off and there's no penalty, then hey, I'm going to keep going. I got a nanosecond of a head start, it could mean the difference between a gold medal and nothing. So runners were doing that intentionally. I don't think that's the case here in marching band. Okay. So that whole runners thing that was put into place to stop that stop that loophole. This is not happening in marching band. I promise you. So get rid of that. It's an antiquated rule. Give them a written reprimand, put it in the leaguer, give them a red stamp on their hand or something, whatever, but don't kick them out of the contest. Cool. Here's the last one for today. Proposal to allow amplification of ensembles of any size using open microphones, basically using shotgun mics and amplification however you want to. I have zero problem with that. As of right now, UIL rules stipulate that no more than 10 individuals or 10 people in the ensemble can be amplified at the same time. This inhibits the creativity of what programs are allowed to do with microphones in the show. Now, some people are going to say, why are you going to allow all these microphones? It's not fair. Money, whatever. That's why my kid is not successful. Stop. Keep this in mind. Programs know that if they use microphones and they use amplification, if it doesn't work, that's on them. If there's feedback, it's on them. If it's out of position, it's on them. You know what else is also on that program? Whether what they are amplifying sounds good or not, it still has to sound characteristic. And if it doesn't sound characteristic to whatever's being played, whether it's a full ensemble, whether it's a woodwind section or brass section, solely, whatever, it will still be held accountable by the sheets. That's why at state contests, we have captions. See how all that works? I have no problem using open microphones. Give me art. Let's push the boundaries. Let's see what you can do. And if the sounds coming through those speakers are not characteristic, then let's hold those programs accountable. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that. Use all the microphones you want. I don't care. But it better sound good, or else we're going to be asking a lot of questions later. I'm done here. We'll take care of part two next week or whenever I have time to do this. I am done here. I hope you all are safe. I hope you all are well. Congratulations to everybody who participated at TMEA, not only through the honor band, but also through the TMEA auditions for symphony orchestra and what have you. Congratulations to all of you. Fantastic musicians all around. Good luck to everybody competing at the WGI contests, anybody competing at Winter Guard and Winter Percussion as well. Can't wait to go see those shows very, very, very soon. I hope I get time to do that. I don't mind traveling for that. But if I'm in the area, I'll be sure that I'll let you all know. I gotta go because I've got another out-of-town trip. Then I got to come back into town, and then I got to go take everybody's money at the Reagan Band Casino Night. I am done here. I hope you all are safe and well. Take care. Adios. Bye-bye.